and share something that the Lord has laid on my heart. A simple message in Luke chapter 22 is where we'll go first. I want you to realize that we are just normal people. We are nothing special. We are not experts in Islam. We have not been planning, preparing, training for this our entire lives. It's just come about the last couple years, and I think the Lord did that on purpose. It's been one step after another. And don't think that it's so great a task that you're exempt from it, that the Lord wouldn't have you, that he wouldn't use you in this area as well. We are normal people. We have the same fears that you do, and we're just trying to be obedient to God. We know he wants us there, and we want to do what he wants us to do. And that's kind of where I want to go with this message, doing what God wants us to do. The message is called Three Peters. Which are you? Which Peter are you? And it's the same Peter, but it's three different times in his life, three stages. And I like Peter because God, you know, God's given us examples in the Bible. Some of them we only see the good, and some of them we see both. And we see points in Peter's life where God was using him in amazing ways. And we see other times in Peter's life where he was down, where he was discouraged, and he seems awful human. And I like that about Peter. But let's look in chapter 22 and verse 33 to begin with. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word tonight to speak to hearts, God, that you'd convict and burden us to be more committed, more devoted to yourself and to your cause. And Lord, help us to see what it is that you see. Help us to understand what you want and what you desire. Because God, I think that would change our lives. Lord, I think too often we're consumed with what we want to do or what we, with our own needs and our own wishes. And God, if we could just see the bigger picture, if we could have a vision like Pastor Cole was talking about, Lord, give us those dreams, those visions to see what you will do, Lord, to see what you would want to accomplish, and the fact that you would use people such as us. And Lord, there's nothing special about any one of us, Lord, except that you've called us out for a specific purpose. Lord, if we've accepted you as our personal Savior and become your children, God, you have a specific and designed purpose and plan for us, and you want to accomplish that in our lives and use us. May we understand that more fully tonight, and would you just use your word to convict and to comfort and to guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider what Peter had been a part of for the past 3.5 years, and he's at this point in his life where he's ready to, he doesn't know this until Jesus tells him, but he's going to deny Christ. This is the guy that had been right next to Jesus' side during so many miracles. He knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He knew all these things. He'd seen it with his own eyes. Not only was he part of the 12, but he was in that inner circle, one of the ones who wanted to be so close to Christ all the time, and he wanted just to see and to experience everything. That was Peter. And yet Jesus says that he's going to deny him at the end. In verse 56, let's flip over there with me, 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou also art one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, one thing I want us to keep in mind, in the back of our mind, as we're reading these verses and looking through this, is the number three, and how God might have used the number three in Peter's life. Now, I'm not into numerology or anything like that, but I'm just suggesting that God can use different things to teach us lessons in our own lives. And I believe that in Peter's life, God used the number three, and we'll see time and time again how God was using that to accomplish a specific purpose, a specific lesson he had for Peter, that it comes to a conclusion in the end. And so Peter denied Christ three times. And what I've found, and this first point that I have is real simple, Peter in reverse. Are you a Peter in reverse? Because Peter had been, it seems that Peter was on such a good track and he was headed for the right things. God had called him. Jesus Christ had called him to follow him. He had called him out of fishing for fish and called him to fish for men and taught him and trained him to do so. And here at the end, he found himself in reverse. But what I found that was more interesting than that was that before Peter denied Christ publicly, and if you're in reverse right now, you might be able to tell that by your denial of Christ publicly, but before that ever happened, Peter did deny Christ privately. In the same chapter, turn back to verse 40, 22 and 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So here was a time when Peter was specifically given a task by Jesus Christ to pray at this specific time for a specific length of time and purpose, and it was very important for him. And Peter fell asleep. He denied Christ what God wanted him to do. He denied him privately. There weren't many people around that knew of this, but Peter denied him privately. And what I've found is, if I'm a Peter in reverse, perhaps I'm denying Jesus Christ privately in my own life, in my own home, when people aren't looking, when they're not watching. I was taught many years ago as a ninth grader that character is what I do or don't do when nobody sees, when nobody's looking. It's me. It's who I am when the lights are off, when people aren't watching. And that's how it is here. Are we denying Jesus Christ in our private life, in our homes, in ourselves, when no one else is watching? But what about publicly? Maybe we're denying him publicly, refusing to be a witness, a light in our world, refusing to do the things that God has called us to do publicly. We don't want to be a Peter in reverse. And, you know, the thing I was thinking of, and our points here tonight are Peter in reverse, Peter in neutral, and Peter in drive. And Peter in reverse is going the opposite way, the opposite direction of where God wants us to go. And if we are in reverse, I think that the solution to that is pretty simple. If you're driving in reverse, you put on the brakes, you stop what you're doing, and refocus. Refocus on where you need to go, what you need to do, and put it in drive. But we need to get out of reverse if we're in that position. Don't deny Christ, privately or publicly. But let's look at the second one, Peter in neutral. In John chapter 21, flip over to John chapter 21. And let's start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And this is what I would consider Peter in neutral, because Peter is at this place where, yes, he's denied Christ, but he's in this position after Jesus Christ died and was resurrected, where Peter had a specific purpose and plan that God had given him, that Jesus Christ had given him, and that was to be fishing for men, as Christ had taught him to do. But what he was doing was not wrong. You know, he was fishing for fish. That wasn't wrong to do. But what he found himself doing was toiling all night and not catching anything. And it was a lesson here that God was teaching Peter, that as we're in our Christian lives and we are toiling and doing things, feeling like we're busy for Christ, there may come a point in time where we say, man, we're really not accomplishing anything. Sometimes we need to be, it's the Mary Martha scenario, where we need to be focusing on worshiping God and realizing who he is and praying and worshiping him and refocusing our lives, because sometimes we will find ourselves like in neutral. Have you ever been in a car with somebody? And I have a good friend who, it annoys me to death what he does. But we pull up to a stoplight, and he puts the car in park. And we're sitting there, and I'm thinking, it's just going to be a few seconds. You know, why is it in park? Keep it in drive. But inevitably, as he goes out of park, he sometimes forgets to go all the way down to drive and hits neutral. And then the engine revs up as he hits the gas, and we don't go anywhere. And that's kind of what I see here with Peter. He toiled all night but caught nothing. And if we're in neutral, trying to go somewhere, or if you're stuck in snow or something, you've got your tires spinning, you're doing the work, but you're not moving forward. You're not moving ahead with what God wants us to do. And that is Peter in neutral. You know, he thought he was doing what he should be doing, but he wasn't moving forward. He wasn't going anywhere. I remember seeing, I was on a golf course when I was younger, and I remember looking up, it was a windy day, and I remember looking up, and I got to admit, I hate Canadian geese. In fact, down in Cincinnati, we all hate Canadian geese for the most part. And especially at our church, we have a pond, and the geese love the pond. And there have been times we've tried to mess with the geese and get them off our property, but we don't like Canadian geese as it is. But I remember looking up in the sky and seeing just a ton of geese. I don't know what you call it, a flock or whatever of geese. And they're up in the air trying to fly, but the wind was keeping them from going anywhere. They were flapping their wings, but they were not moving at all. And it was the funniest thing to me. But that's kind of the picture I get of this Peter in neutral. Feeling like we're moving, feeling like we're doing something, but we really aren't. We need to re-examine our lives. And it's not about the amount of effort we're putting into it. It's about our heart. And I think that's the issue that God was getting at here, was Peter's heart. Where was he in his life? And I need to hurry up, so let's look at verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. 6. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. It's interesting to me that Jesus, when he was involved in what they were doing, they ended up catching the fish, doing what they wanted to accomplish. But it was only when Jesus got involved. And sometimes we have gotten ourselves so busy in the work that we forget about who is the focus, who is the reason that we're doing this for. And it was Jesus Christ. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Verse 14, Now this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So again, we see the number three as Jesus points out here. Verse 15, 16, 17, I won't read them all, but Jesus is saying, Simon, Peter, do you love me more than these? And he saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. The second time he says, Feed my sheep. And the third time he says, Feed my sheep. And I think this is a lesson to Peter that God is about to reveal to him in the coming chapters about what that great responsibility is for Peter's life and for all of us. And we'll look at that in just a second. Peter and drive. Turn to Acts chapter 10. If you're Peter in reverse, you might just need to hit on the brakes and realize, refocus on where you need to go and put it in drive and start moving in the right direction. If you're in a Peter in neutral, the obvious answer to that is to realize, what you're doing is not accomplishing what you want to be accomplishing. For whatever reason, we're not moving in the right direction, and we need to focus on moving in the right direction, focus on Jesus Christ himself. It's a heart issue. And Peter and drive, Acts chapter 10. Obviously, the story here is of Peter's vision, and God had given Peter this vision. Three times, God lowered down a sheet filled with all kinds of beasts and creeping things, the stuff that was unclean to a Jew. And Peter, this was just an example, an image to him that he didn't get right away. But verse 16 says, This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And verse 17 explains what Peter was thinking. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. So God has given Peter this vision of all these beasts and wild things creeping. and lowers it down. And the point of this vision was in verse 13, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter was saying, not so, you know, this stuff's unclean. I've never touched anything unclean. And three times God sent that message, three men God sent to Peter. And finally, he gets it in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The message that God was trying to get across, the threes, I believe, as God was teaching him a lesson was this. Peter, there are no people on earth that are unclean. There are no people on earth where my love does not reach them. Everybody's on the same playing field. And we're talking about Muslims here because of where we're headed. And the Muslims are not lower on the tier than the Americans. God, Christ Jesus, died for each of us. And Peter had to learn this lesson because he was a Jew of Jews. And not only were there things in his life that he had never touched physically, food that he had never eaten because he was a Jew, but there were people that perhaps he had an issue with going to. And God wanted him to get rid of that and see his own heart. God is no respecter of persons. In fact, he's been that way since the beginning of time. That wasn't something new that came with the New Testament. That was the way he has always been. But God used the Israelites, the people of God in the Old Testament, to be a light and a witness, to be that channel of blessing from God to all the nations on the earth, that all the people of the earth would know who God is, and that his name wouldn't be polluted in all the world. And that's the same thing today. He's going to use the children, his children, the Christians, the churches that are preaching the gospel and teaching the Bible, to be that channel of God's blessing to the world. The blessing is the gospel. The blessing is the good news, the truth. And that's what we need to be. If we're going to be a Peter and Drive, then we ought to realize in the 21st century that God cares about the Muslims as much as the Americans, as much as the Peruvians, as much as the Spanish, as much as the Canadians, as much as everybody. Doesn't matter the color skin, the language spoken. God cares about each person individually. And we ought to get back to that, seeing people, as souls, in need of a Savior. And if we're going to be committed to following Jesus Christ, if we're going to be committed to moving forward, being in Drive, then it's going to take that kind of a mindset, that kind of a heart for people that God has. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, and I'm reminded every time I get up and preach and read from it, I'm reminded of the millions that have yet to even touch a copy of it. I'm reminded of the millions that don't even have it in their language. They couldn't read it even if they had a copy of it, Lord, because a copy doesn't exist. And Lord, I think of those that are so, we might say, underprivileged. And it's obvious to us, it's glaring to us because we are overprivileged. We've been overblessed abundantly. And God, it's only for one purpose, that those blessings would not remain inside of us, but that we would be channels of that blessing and that it would spread, overflow and spread throughout all the earth. You used the Jews, you used the children of Israel in the Old Testament to be that channel. And you're going to use your people in the New Testament era, Lord. You're going to use us today as Christians to further the gospel. You've chosen that plan, that method. And it's so humbling to think that you would use us. But that's the way you've chosen to do it. And God, would you just help us to be surrendered and committed to you? Lord, to not be so busy about the work that we forget and lose sight of the real purpose, the real person that we're doing it for, and to lose sight of the worship and the time of communion with you. And God, if maybe that's where we're at and we need to get back to you, maybe we're even at a worse spot, Lord, and we're running from you, we're denying you privately or publicly, and we need to put a stop to that and refocus and get a vision, a purpose, Lord. Help us with our heart. Would you change us, Lord, and make us more like yourself? Help us to see the way you see and think the way you think, which I know is tough because that's not who we are. I can't even explain how great you are. And we can't even compare ourselves in any way to you. But if we could just get a glimpse, Lord, of the way you see and the way you think, it would help us, Lord. It would change us, our lives. And I pray that you do a work tonight in Jesus' name. Pastor.